feed back there. Hallelujah. We got people in church tonight. Praise God. They'll be seated. And they should be in church. Amen. And we hope that they get in that church and they take a little bit of what they got here and salt that church a little bit without even knowing it. We just pray the anointing just goes out there and just starts salting. Amen. We've had people come here today that weren't too happy with some of the things we had to say, praise God. But they got a little salt on them anyway. And that's what it's all about. Putting a little salt out, a little word out, a little seed out. Amen. Now listen to the words of that song. Jesus is the lover of my soul. He's the lover of your soul. He's a soul lover. He loves souls because souls are eternal. This is temporal. And this has a limited time span. This body, this flesh, doesn't last forever. The soul is forever. When God created Adam, He made Adam, made him a perfect man, body, soul, and spirit. Adam was made to live forever. Live forever and to know God, have fellowship with God. But Adam fell because of disobedience, which God foreknew, foreordained to our good. To our good. Before I knew Jesus, I would ask, why would it be fair? Because of one man's fall, we all have to suffer. What's fair about one man's disobedience causing all the sin and misery and death, heartache, famines and plagues, all these things in the earth today? Looking back through history and all the horrible, horrible things that have taken place throughout history. When I didn't know God, I thought that was a terrible thing. Now that I know it, I see the wondrous perfection, the perfect plan and execution of His love toward us. If Adam, who had total knowledge, could see God face to face and knew all that he knew, could fall, how could we ever stand? So God, in His love and in His mercy, allowed Adam to fall and allowed the sin and death all to come upon the world so that He could send His perfect love, Jesus, to do what we cannot do. And what is impossible for John to do. Even though John may want to do things. It's impossible without that love in here. Jesus is a soul lover. And He loved me before I loved Him. And He knew exactly what I needed to be where I am right now. He knows what I need tomorrow. And the day after, and the day after. And when you understand the perfect love, then it doesn't matter what happens today or what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter because you have this confidence. There is a confidence that it's going to be all right. He's in control. Lift your heart to Him and sing this song with Him. You know, this clay that I'm made of, my body is made of, it is miry. It's miry. It holds me back. It tries to cling to me. Keep me from being what God wants me to be. But God is more powerful than this place. And God knew that I could never be what He wanted me to be in this place. So He takes me from this place by faith. I was baptized into Jesus Christ. When I went under that water, it was a type of shadow of burial with Christ. Under that water was a type of shadow of that death. And when I came up out of that water, He didn't put me back into this fire. This miry clay that cannot please God and cannot do the things that God desires. He put me in that rock. In Jesus. He hid me in that rock. Firmly planted me in that rock. By faith. Until that new body that won't be made of clay. That new body will be a heavenly body. A glorious body. An undefiled, resurrected body. But until then, I'm on the rock. Amen. And his old body just whines and cries and moans and groans. But it's not stronger than my Jesus. Amen. Even when his old body gets stupid, I'm sitting there with Jesus saying, look at that stupid body. Lord, what are we going to do about it? He says, kill it. Don't worry, it'll die. But you need it for a while. See, there's things I want to teach you while you still can make mistakes. There's things I want you to learn. And if you learn them in that body and make mistakes, you're not hurting anything. You make a mistake in that body I've got for you, it could cost you eternity. But if you make them in this body here, it's okay. it's going to die anyway. So I just rest in that rock. I trust my friend. I'll trust my friend and I'll know that everything's okay. And He is glorified. Just praise the Lord. Worship the Lord and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all be seated. Hallelujah. Last night I spoke about Mark 16. And how Mark 16 states, Jesus speaking, "Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, shall they lift up, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them or hurt them. They lay hands on the sick, who will be healed, who shall be healed." And I made a statement last night that kind of got some bug eyes when I said that, because I said, if I remember correctly, what I said was, is if these signs weren't following you, then you didn't believe. Is that what I said? And I got some strange looks. And I feel led of the Lord to speak on this tonight, because even though some of those people weren't here, I know that they're going to get the tape and they're going to hear this. So, I praise God for that. You can believe in Jesus Christ. You can believe in the Father. You can believe in the Holy Ghost. You can even believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and your sins. You can believe that He has a place for you, and still not believe the gospel. See, it didn't say, "Go in the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in me and is baptized shall be saved." He didn't say that. He said, "He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved." Amen? There's a lot to the gospel. There's a lot to the gospel, from the fact that God planned from the very first day after He threw Lucifer out of heaven, that God had a plan to save you, Steve. You, Scott. You, Paul. As he's bouncing on his chair up there on the radio room. Amen. God had a plan from the foundation to save you. And He has spoken of it so many times throughout the Word, and very carefully molded the lives of individuals from Adam all the way up to present time. Just for you. Just for you. God's plan of salvation was so perfect and so enveloped in His love that it is hard to even come close to a point of imagination to even begin to see that awesome love until you step in it. Until you step in it. God, as I've said so many times before, did not send Jesus Christ to die for this body. This body's cursed. This body is under the curse. Amen? First of all, the Scripture says, cursed is anyone under the law that does not do the law. That's a bad paraphrase. Told you I wouldn't rap too tight. But I know what it says. If you're under the law and you don't do it, you're cursed. Cain slew his brother Abel because God didn't accept his sacrifice. And as I said the other night, man, back then, it was neat when you did a sacrifice. You get out there and you put you some rocks together and you put you some sticks on it and put your sacrifice there and then you back off. And you say, okay, Lord, there it is. Am I far enough back? And fire come down from heaven and there goes the sacrifice. You didn't want to be standing next to that thing. Not at all. And there's old Cain, poor old Cain. He takes his cabbage and his lettuce and tomatoes and carrots, string beans. You know, I bet I know what made God mad. He probably put okra on that thing. That would have made me mad. He put them all up there and he got back. And he just stood up real tall. There you go, Lord, look what I did. Hey, Lord, any time now. Took his and didn't take mine. Time passed and it rotted. And he got mad. And he rose up angry. And God said, what's your problem? He was in Massachusetts. He said, what's up with some of you? Depending on what part of Massachusetts you were in, I guess down in Lowell. Right? What's up? Is that how they say it? Huh? What's up? This old flatlander don't know how to talk right? Said, why is your countenance fallen? Knowest thou not that if thou doest good, thou shalt be accepted? Huh? What was the next part? But if thou doest evil, sin lieth at the door. Huh? What was evil about what he did? He offered a cursed thing to God. Because God said, cursed is the ground and the fruit thereof. Amen? Therefore, anything from the ground is cursed. You cannot offer a cursed thing to God and expect God to receive it. Now, I told a preacher today that I'm a weed whacker. He said, you're a pastor? No, I'm a weed whacker. I'm not a pastor. Those of you who know me a long time know I make a lousy pastor. Pastors are supposed to keep the sheep hog-tied in the church. Amen? I keep chasing them off. Get out of here. And somebody said, well, why do you do that? Because they're not sheep. They're goats. I was watching a thing on TV one time. It was a documentary. It was about Israel. And it wasn't even about what I'm talking about. I mean, they just happened to be panning through the marketplace. And this guy comes in, this shepherd. I guess he was a shepherd. He had a shepherd hat and a shepherd robe and a shepherd stick and sheep following him. And he comes walking into this place and he takes a stick and he sticks it in the ground. And he just walked off. And all the sheep just gathered around that staff and stayed right there. And I thought, wasn't that neat? Huh? And then, guess what? Here comes this guy with probably 10 sons and 3 daughters and 10 dogs. Probably really only 4 dogs, I'm exaggerating, but a bunch of dogs. And they had these goats. And they were herding these goats. The dogs would go around this way, and the dogs would go around that way, and the kids would run this way, and they had sticks in both hands, and they're beating the goats, and they're getting them to go up there. And they got them in the corner of this wall, and these silly goats are climbing the side of the wall trying to get out. And this poor goat herder was trying to get these goats to settle down, and the kids were running around, and the dogs were running around. And I looked at that, and I said, my God, that reminds me of church. There's the pastor and his Dickens. And they're all trying to keep the people in line. Because everybody wants to do their own thing. Amen? You want to do your own thing, don't you? Oh, yeah. I want to do my own thing. Steve wants to do his own thing. How can God have an organized army when everybody wants to do their own thing? Huh? He can't. So he set up a plan. And I found out that when somebody receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, an amazing thing happens. I remember that scripture where he said, the kingdom of God is like unto a woman who hid a little leaven in 3 measures of meal. And soon the whole lump was leavened. Now, I was taught one way on that, and I'm not even going to go into that. But what God showed me is that lump is me. I'm that lump. And when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God put a little piece of Himself in this lump. And if I allow Him, that leaven begins to grow. Now see, I'm giving you the key to the gospel. Because there's 2 things we learn here in this term. We're going to be learning here. One, how to get over the River Jordan. Amen? But totally important. And I'm going to say it to you sick and tired of hearing it. The thing you've got to learn that is most important is, number one, take God serious. Number two, don't take yourself serious. And number three, believe His Word. Amen? Because you see, when people begin to take themselves serious, then they want other people to take them serious. Huh? And then what happens? Pride. This preacher was here tonight, couldn't listen to me, couldn't hear a word, didn't want to hear a word. It's all right. I'm not any prettier. I'm sure not any uglier. Amen? And God loves that preacher. He loves that preacher. And God's going to get to him down the road sometime if he wants to. It's not up to me. See, if I took myself serious, then I'd try to change that man. But it's not mine. I'm not in the changing business. I'm in the loving business. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to love in Jesus' stead. And that's what we're all supposed to do. Amen? But I have another job, too. And that job is to take those things that God gives me and give them to you. And one of those things is that He wants you to have is an understanding on that gospel. And in order to get an understanding on that gospel, sometimes you got to have some weeds whacked. And if you've ever seen a weed whacker working, imagine the poor plant. with that weed whacker whacking around it. It can be scary. So sometimes I say things that people look at me like their eyeballs get big, they get all kinds of funny expressions on their face, and they look at me like, what in the world is this guy talking about? But it's because I have to cut the weeds out. And one of the weeds is that you have to do something in this body to please God to make you worthy of Him. And I got news for you. You can't do it. I met a preacher over in Texas one day. I was there with Dan. And nice guy. But he got to talking about holiness. But see, God showed me what holiness is. It isn't what most people think it is. It's not a thing you do. It's a place you be. Huh? Holiness isn't what you do, it's what you are. Holiness is where is a state of soul. It's being separated from the world. See? Remember my pickle sermon then? Over, what was that, in James? Jude? Well, how's that go? Jude, brother of James, to them that are sanctified. Is that what it says? Preserved in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and called. Doesn't that sound backwards? Sanctified, preserved, called. Then it makes more sense if it said called, then preserved, and then sanctified. Absolutely not. See, people don't understand a word. Sanctified means to be taken apart. Be separated. If I want to make pickles, I'm going to have to first grow cucumbers. And I get these cucumbers, and when I harvest my cucumbers, since I want the best pickles in town, I separate the best cucumbers from the worst. That's called sanctified. I've sanctified them. I've separated them. Then I take them and I put them in pickle juice. I preserve them. What did Jesus Christ do? When He died on the cross, He raised up from the dead. Amen. And then when I am baptized in water, where does He put me? In Him. I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. Not in this body. By faith, I'm in Him. And then the last thing He does, He stamps a label on me. Called. He labels me. That's mine. That's my pickle. False teeth, flat feet, bald head, and funky glasses. That's still my pickle. Every pickle's got bumps on it, doesn't it? You ever notice that? Cucumbers are usually smooth, but pickles got bumps. Huh? And a lot of people are bumpy. But that's all right. God loves us with our bumps. Anyway. Because He knows, see, God can look down through this and see through this old carcass. And knows that this carcass is going to die. Go back to Moses in the desert. Where God said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, for Israel is my son, my firstborn. And yet that firstborn died in the desert. Adam was the firstborn type and shadow of Christ. And he sinned and died. Jesus was the second type and shadow. He lives forever. Amen? It's not the first Adam that saves. It's the second Adam that saves. It's not the first man that goes across the River Jordan. It's the second man that goes across the River Jordan. It's not Moses that goes across, it's Joshua. Moses was of the law, Joshua was of faith. Ishmael, born under the bondwoman, Hagar, was cast out. Isaac, born by the woman of faith, got the promise. The gospel has never changed. You see? But man tries to pervert the gospel. Now, I said last night that people, when I read Mark 16, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick who shall recover, or will recover. When I quoted that, and I said, if these signs are not following you, then you're not a believer. I had one lady get up and run out of here. She didn't want to hear that. She didn't want to hear the rest of it either. And it's sad. Because, see, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just saying you haven't perfected your faith in the gospel. But when the faith is perfected in the gospel, guess what? Jesus is going to pop out all over you.
Amen.
And you can walk into a hospital room and not even open your mouth and people be healed. Seen it happen. Seen it happen. One night, as Dan was telling somebody today, one night in the tent, just walking along and talking, singing a song, and talking while the song was playing. The power of God hit a man, delivered him of drug addiction. Right there in the tent. Boom. Bam. It was a beautiful thing. Amen? He's sitting right there. Going from doing 30 bags of heroin a day to a perfect born-again believer in Jesus Christ who ain't wrapped too tight but loves God is going to try to do it. No better than the rest and no worse than the rest of us. Amen? Because Jesus loved him. Jesus loved me. When you get a handle on the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? You quit your labor. Huh? What's it say in Hebrews chapter 4? Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, and if you should seem to fall short of it. For the gospel is preached unto them as well as unto us, but the word profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That book is food. Now, I like food. You can tell I like food. And I like porterhouse steaks. I like good, tender, juicy porterhouse steaks. I like the flavor. And I like the fact they're easy to chew with these toppers. But you know, if I eat that steak and I don't digest that steak, it'll kill me. But if I digest it, it'll give me strength and give me life. So it is with the Word. You have to mix the Word with faith. Did you know that faith is your digestive juices for the soul and for the spirit? Faith is what digests the Word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So men tend to do other things. They follow regulations or rules or laws or traditions and say, look, God, see how good I am. We keep a man out front at the tent. I said this up in Berlin. It was funny. People looked at me weird. We gave a man outside up front of the tent and tell him, go and smoke your cigarettes. Enjoy them. Chain smoke. And they looked at me. I said, oh, yeah, I do that to run the Pharisees off. Just get them Pharisees out of here. I mean, who wants to mess with them? I don't. I don't want to spend the time arguing with some stupid Pharisee. He thinks that some stupid cigarette is bigger and better and more stronger than my Jesus Christ? Come on. A cigarette ain't going to keep him out of heaven. May help him get there faster, but ain't going to keep him out of heaven.
Oh, but Brother Euchre, you're defiling your body.
This body's already defiled. It's that one I've got to be concerned about, not this piece of cursed flesh. What is it Jesus said? It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body, but what cometh out. Because what comes out comes from the heart. I was in a revival one time down in Florida. And it was one of them revivals of ministers. Preacher revival. Bunch of preachers there. And I pulled in a big truck, and I had a cowboy hat on and boots. I didn't have a suit, blue jeans or shirt, and I walked in. And I was part of that ministry. I was in a denominational church at the time. And we'd been having services, and I'd been watching this one lady and her sister for about 5, 6, maybe 10 days, I don't know. One day this one particular preacher was preaching, and afterwards they came around, and we were all sitting around talking. About 50 of us were standing around talking. There was a bunch of others all over here. And this lady brought her sister up to this minister and asked if she could pray for him, if he'd pray for her. And he said yes. So he looked around and said, would you brothers like to join in? And they all joined in. Then he looked at me. He didn't know what to do. Standing there in my cowboy hat. So I took my hat off and laid it down and joined in with him. And he put his hand out to her like this, and just about the time he did that, she goes, I can't even do that, stand up. He didn't even open his mouth and start to pray. He just put his hand out. She starts this jerking stuff, and when she did that, I just broke the circle, stood off to the side, and went and leaned up against the pole. And just watched. Well, he prayed for her. She thanked him. He thanked her. See, I've been watching this woman go to every single altar call that they'd had in that place. You know, it got to the point, my wife knows this, and some of you know this, it got to the point I hate giving altar calls. Because 90% of altar calls are phony. They're phony. Same old people coming up every single week. Preacher trying to save people that supposedly were saved 20 years ago. If they ain't saved now, preacher, give up. Maybe they're a goat. Let them go. She come up there. She started walking off, and I said, and I did the unforgivable. I said, excuse me, ma'am. Did you ever hear about 2,500 people, 3,000 people at the same time instantly stop talking? You could hear their heads turn, and it was dead silent. And I said, excuse me, how's your back? Well, it still hurts. I said, really? Yeah. I said, how come that is? She says, I don't know. I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? Oh, yeah. So you go to church all the time? Oh, yes. Every time the church is open, I'm there. I go to church every Sunday and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. I said, uh-huh. And I bet you every time there's an altar call, you go up there and get prayed for too, don't you? Oh, yes. I go to that altar every time. I said, how come you're not healed? She says, I just don't know. I said, I do. Her eyes got big. She said, you do? I said, yeah. She said, why? I said, God doesn't like you. You ever hear a bunch of people go all at one time? you, I'm going to tell you, you better have God's protection on you when you're in that situation. And she got the funniest look on her face, and I said, she said, well, I never. I said, well, you finally have. Somebody's finally told you the truth. God just doesn't like you. And she had this funniest look. I said, where's your husband? You are married, aren't you? Oh, yes, but he couldn't come. I said, what do you mean he couldn't come? Don't lie to me. He's sitting at home watching football games, sucking on a beer and smoking a cigar.